Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show. This is Dr. Valerie Olmsted, and this is a show about the truth in medicine and spirituality and whatever the heck else we decide to do. My special guest today is Sanat Kumari, who is a member of the Ishaya Ascension Group, and she will be speaking to us about the different reasons for wanting to ascend and a little bit about the process. So welcome to the program, Sanat Kumari.
Thank you, Valerie.
And maybe I should explain to the listeners, too, before we get into all this, that I had the opportunity to attend the first workshop on the Ascension process, and it's a pretty interesting process. But before we get into all that, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I know Valerie because we went to naturopathic medical school together, so indeed. I am also a practicing naturopathic medical doctor in Arizona, and I have always looked for the tools and the processes that were the most simple but yet effective in order to bring healing to my patients. And I found that in homeopathy and Bowen body work and a few other techniques. And then when I found out about the Ishaya's Ascension, I realized that this really goes to the core. If we can start to release the stresses in our bodies, both from ourselves physically and our memories mentally, emotionally, it really gives us a jump on healing. And there's a lot of other things that we don't have to do because we're most purely activating the body's natural healing ability and allowing it to heal itself.
And that's the most important thing, folks. So for the listeners out there, I think most of the listeners to this show are pretty well informed and realize that there are different ways to do things. So forgive me, listeners, if I'm acting like you don't know some of this stuff, but let me talk about it anyway in case we have some new listeners. One of the most important things to healing is that connection. When you have the connection of body, mind, and spirit, that's when you have the miracles happen. So Sanat Kumari is going to enlighten us about how the ascension process may help and, you know, a little bit about the different parts of the ascension process and some of her personal experiences.
Yes.
We did go to medical school together, and we survived.
And we thrived. We're thriving now, yes.
Yeah, we're thriving now. It didn't seem like we would as we went through it, though. But we made it. And wouldn't it have been a lot easier if we had this process when we were going through school?
Yes. In fact, I feel so strongly about this. I've been going to the naturopathic schools and telling the students about this and saying, you know, this is what I wish I knew when I was in naturopathic medical school. And so that's one of my my targets, my outreach is to health professionals, but especially the students. When we were learning natural healing, we were going through the most unnatural process with all the stress and demands and tight schedules. And something like this technique, the Ishaya's Ascension, I think would be so beneficial because it is so much in line with naturopathic philosophy. First, no harm and access the healing power of nature.
Yeah, and, you know, that sounds easy when we say it. It's very difficult for a lot of people to do, even our own colleagues that know these things. I think the ascension process would have kind of gotten everybody into alignment a lot quicker, and we certainly had a lot of stress, and, you know, it wasn't just us. It's pretty much every medical school class goes through an awful amount of stress.
That's right.
And as we know, stress kills. So it's kind of ironic, I think, that they kind of do their best to knock everybody out of the water, you know, when they're in school.
Right.
And it seems like it's planned specifically to do that. So if you had something like the Ishaya's Ascension or any kind of a meditative process that really helps you to get beyond the stress, then, you know, that would help. The thing that I like, listeners, about the Ishaya Ascension's process is that it's very, very simple. You don't have to know anything about meditation or spirituality or anything like that And that's the thing that fascinated me. So even if you're totally exhausted, or if you feel like you don't have enough brain power to get some of this stuff, or if you say, I can't meditate, I've never meditated, this is for you.
Absolutely. And we say that no belief is required. And what we mean is, you don't have to believe what I say, and you don't have to believe that techniques came from where, you know, I say they came from, or you don't have to believe that the techniques will work. You simply, in innocence, use them and let your own experience be the judge of that. And we tell everybody who does the practice 2 to 3 times a day, 20 minutes with their eyes closed, and whenever they remember with their eyes open, that in 6 weeks you will definitely experience a change in your life.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good thing. Let's think about that for a minute. 6 weeks, and you know, you take some time off during the day and give yourself a little kind of a refresher break while you're doing something that's so simple, doesn't require a lot of brain power, and reduces your stress. And in the space of about 6 weeks, your life has changed markedly for the better. Gee, I don't know. Do we want to do that?
Yeah, is that something that you would like?
Yeah, how would that sound? So,
and well, I have seen lots of changes in people. Yes.
I bet. Well, I could tell a difference, you know, from what I did, even though I have many, many years of meditative practice of different types. And sometimes it's hard for me to tell what exactly is going on because I do so many different things. But it's quite a simple process, and it really helps you to be able to be in the now and to really carry the attitudes throughout the day. So let's talk a little bit about the attitudes. You want to explain that, Sanat Kumari?
Sure. They're called ascension attitudes. And when we say ascension, we simply mean rising above the limiting beliefs of our minds. It is not associated with any religion or any New Age concept of ascension. We simply mean going beyond all those old programs and conditions that we've acquired in life. And they're called attitudes because they change our attitude or perception of life. We can be in the same situation and perceive something as smooth and flowing or as a big problem.
Perception.
And it's the same example of, you know, if there's a glass that's filled halfway with water, is it half full or half empty? It's your perception. You know, is there scarcity or is there, you know, enough? So you don't have to feel or believe in the attitudes and they will work. They are introduced at the surface level of the mind, and just because of how they're constructed, they easily and naturally are a vehicle for you to ride into your true nature, which is peaceful and calm and quiet.
Peace, calm, and quiet. Let's see.
And it's not boring. You know, that's what some people think, is that, oh, couldn't that be boring?
I don't know about you listeners, but I could use a little peace, calm, and quiet in my life.
Right. When I poll people in my introductory talks, one of the most common things that people say that they really would like more of in their life, their heart's true desire, is peace. And that's what brought me to the practice, too, is wanting more peace in my life. You know, it wasn't that my life was chaotic, but, you know, who wouldn't want just a little more?
Well, I, for one, you know, I could use some more peace in my life.
Yes.
And, I mean, I do a lot of things to make sure that I'm, you know, kind of on a good track. But, you know, life gets very busy. So for you listeners out there that sometimes wonder how you stop this merry-go-round just for a few moments so you can have some peace, this is for you. This is something that's so remarkably easy to do and definitely worth the time that you spend learning how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about when you're talking about the attitudes, you know, you go into the basically the same thing Dr. Emoto talks about in his Messages from Water, you know, about how praise and appreciation and gratitude are three of the main things that we should all be searching for.
Yes.
And I was amazed at how similar the ascension attitudes are to what all of the other disciplines, including the water research, are showing.
Yes, it just goes to show that truth is universal. You know, if it's true in one situation, it's going to be true in another. So the attitudes are based on the upward spiraling emotions of love, thanks, and appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned, Dr. Emoto, the water researcher, wanted to find the ideal vibrations to purify all the natural waters of the earth. And so we tried all different words and different combinations of words, and when he hit upon the combination of gratitude plus love, he found that it purified water. And he explains that in Japanese, gratitude, if you were to translate it, it's more like a combination of thanks and appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
So it truly is cooperation, that these three are universal forces that purify and bring joy and beauty.
That's a pretty easy thing to do. How many people have been running around looking for exactly that?
Right.
You know, and everybody thinks you have to go find a guru and you know, kind of go off to a cave, and so they can't put it into their busy life. But really, you can't afford not to put it into your busy life, especially
That's
if
right.
you're dealing with any kind of a health problem, anything that, any stressor in life. You know, there has to be that point of peace that people can come to. And if they can't get there, then they can't solve that problem, whatever it is. You know, because anything that we're faced with, any challenge, requires quite a few different ways of looking at it. And if you look at it in sheer panic and try to run away, of course, it comes back and slaps you. So,
and in fact, I have become convinced with my experience with the Ashaya's Ascension that endless peace and joy and love is our birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And we are designed to be experiencing that. And that's how we're designed to be operating in the world. So we aren't in caves, you know, just being blissed out. We're being joyful in our daily activities and feeling at one with everything.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, most of us who have studied all of the different religions, or as many of them as we know of, and the different states that are attainable by the saints and for which many aspire to, one of the things that I learned a long time ago is, yeah, samadhi is great. And for you listeners that are not familiar with samadhi, that's the state of bliss, walking around in a state of bliss. And the problem with that particular state is if you're in that state constantly, people have to clothe you and bathe you and feed you and take care of you because you don't notice anything in this world. And one of the problems that I have with that type of a thing is that then you're not of any good to the world. You know, we were put here to do a few things. We have missions to do, tasks to accomplish, challenges to meet, and love to share. So if you're running around in a state of extended bliss and other people have to take care of you and you're not even aware of what's going on, it's kind of like Alzheimer's, isn't it? Except the Alzheimer's people aren't quite that happy. But basically, you know, we have things to do here. Each one of us has something really important to do for the world and an important part to play in this game that we call life. So, you know, attaining samadhi is not necessarily something that you want to do and just walk around blissed out. And, you know, we don't live in caves and, you know, away from all of the other people. We don't have people, well, most of us don't have people bringing us, you know, food and clothing us and washing our bodies and making sure that we don't get run over and things. So what do the rest of us do? We have to attain little moments of bliss or we're not going to be happy.
Well, I think that characterization of, you know, not being able to clothe and feed yourself while you're in samadhi is really a misperception because we are taught to expand our consciousness while we're in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when people spontaneously achieve higher states of consciousness or without guidance or really understanding what's happening, they can become non-functional.
Mm-hmm.
But the way this teaching is truly to expand our consciousness to have the awareness of the God within while we're in our activities of daily life.
Exactly.
And part of the way this is done is that the ascension attitudes are used in closed-eyed meditations 3 times a day, 20 minutes, but they're also used with your eyes open in whatever activity you are doing. So you have a different perception to what you are doing.
Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit about what that different perception might look like.
Well, it could be something as simple as driving on a busy freeway down to Phoenix, where there's two lanes, and sometimes people get, you know, happy about passing, but don't really pass, and you get very jammed up. And you could get very frustrated in this kind of traffic situation.
Mm-hmm.
But simply by using the ascension attitudes, it's my experience that the other drivers are not annoying, and in fact, the world starts to behave differently, and spaces open up between cars, and you know there aren't the jams and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not only me not being bothered by the way people are driving; people start driving differently.
Now that's an interesting thing. So what you're saying is, when you live in this state of expanded awareness, and when your perception is more based upon choice rather than victimization, that your environment changes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Interesting.
Life begins to flow. Life becomes easy.
Gee, I don't know. Who'd want to have an easy life? Who would like their life to flow? Do we want that? Oh, hell yeah.
You know, there was at one point where I was experiencing something in life, and it's like, everything is just so easy. I wonder how you could describe this. And then the word came, it's like, oh, that's what they mean by flow.
Uh-huh.
So this teaching is truly experientially based.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you use the techniques, and you have experiences. And just by using the techniques, blockages dissolve, and all sorts of, past programmings aren't operative anymore.
So is this kind of like people thinking they have a parking fairy?
Right. Kind of like a parking fairy, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything in the universe starts to line up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I maybe it's just me, but I kind of think that's a good thing.
Well, I keep going back to, this is the way life is meant to be lived. And I'm just so relieved to find a technology, a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, believe me, I've read all the books of inspiration about this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, have I.
Yeah, and I get real excited about it when I read a book, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I want, that's for me. But there was one part of me that never believed that I could really have that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like maybe some other lifetime, maybe something, you know, it's like I always kept having my expectations or hopes collapse again.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody ever told me how. Nobody gave me a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they gave me a way, it was not complete. Well, I find this Ashaya's Ascension teaching to be the tool that is missing in a lot of New Age inspirational motivational, mindful practices.
Mm-hmm. Mindfulness.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it all starts.
Get to. Look at all the different types of spiritual practices that are out there. They all speak of mindfulness.
Exactly.
Most of them speak of love and gratitude,
mm-hmm.
forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
peace, flow.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires sometimes large sums of money and
right.
a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
a lot of education in order to get into the state where people can actually have that flow in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've experienced some of these things, as have I. And I don't think I've found anything quite as easy as the Yeshaya's Ascension.
Yes, I second that. Yes. And I'm just attracted to having things elegant, which means as simple as possible, but no simpler.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I found that this teaching, you know, really appeals to not only the person who has never meditated before, but those who have been through everything, because it is the thing that they were looking for. It is how to access your inner peace, how to remember who you really are.
Yeah, and the thing I keep thinking about with this, and the thing that means so much to me as a busy person, and, you know, like I've always got 15 things going on at once, and I think the thing that's important for a lot of the listeners to know is it's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it anywhere, anytime. You don't have to have a special place to do it. You don't have to have a special time to do it. And you can practice it in the middle of your busy day as you're being busy and doing things for the open eye meditation
right.
part.
Right.
That's an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I liken it to a walking meditation,
mm-hmm.
which I learned to do many, many years ago. And so if you are going through your life in a meditative state to where you're not bothered by the outside thoughts that come in, the fears that are being thrown around out there by the media and by the other people, and if you can stay in that meditative state throughout your day, you still enjoy life. You enjoy it greater because you don't have the fear build up and the tension that happens from letting all this stuff kind of bombard your aura, and then you take it in. So this practice, I think, excludes a lot of that negative stuff from ever reaching you.
Right.
You built a shield around yourself by the fact that you're doing this.
Well, it's because we change our relationship to thoughts and feelings and body sensations.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that when you use the Yeshaya's Ascension that you're going to stop ever having pain or, you know, having something which we judge as bad happen to you. It's you're just going to change your relationship with that experience. And like you said, it doesn't bother you. And in fact, there's usually some higher resolution to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing about thoughts and feelings is that a lot of people say, I can't meditate because I just can't clear my mind of thoughts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And this is totally a misperception of what goes on during meditation, at least the meditation that the Yeshaya's Ascension teach.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts are a part of meditation. They're an essential part. What happens is that when we use the Ascension attitude, it is a vehicle that takes us in an express way, right to our core, right to our true self, our infinite self. And at that place, there's total peace and quiet and love and unbounded potential. And when we start experiencing that, the whole body-mind system realizes that this is a chance for healing. So what happens is the body starts to heal itself, whether it throws off toxins in a cell or just brings white blood cells to an area. The healing process begins, and that is characterized by activity.
Mm-hmm.
So activity in the body is represented by activity in the brain, too, since they're connected. So the activity in the brain is thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So when we use the Ascension attitude and access our core, thoughts naturally come up because they're a sign of healing. And we simply reintroduce the Ascension attitude.
Well, it makes it a heck of a lot easier. You know, if you have something to go to, you don't have to figure it out. Especially if someone is ill or if they're going through a very difficult, stressful time in their life. You know, it's
right.
Nice to have something kind of like an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that you can reach out and grab, and you don't have to go expend a lot of brain power, a lot of energy going for it.
Right.
Something that can bring you instant peace and harmony and help your life to flow more gracefully.
And yes, so, because
I don't know
it
how
is...
many listeners out there have had similar to experience to what I've gone through in life, but I used to do what I call nailing myself to the wall and, you know, had very little compassion for myself and just worked too hard for too long, you know, and made things way harder on myself than they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to go learn how to forgive myself and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long odyssey. If I had had these ascension attitudes way back in my 20s when I started being so hard on myself, life would have been a heck of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, things would have flowed instead of struggling so hard and you know, banging my head against the wall.
And
I've gotten through a lot of things a lot quicker and easier.
Well, yeah, and you have them now, so that's
mm-hmm.
what counts.
Oh, yeah, now, you know, life is a heck of a lot easier. No matter what happens now, I have a different attitude anyway. But I've noticed as I've been practicing these ascension attitudes that, you know, it just it brings kind of that, you know, warm, fuzzy, happy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you can connect with immediately and remember, oh, yeah, and I'm not alone either.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people practicing these attitudes. And so I feel that what happens when you use them is you're also connecting with all of the people around the world who are actively seeking peace and harmony in life.
True.
And not just for themselves, but for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experience when I went through your first workshop was, you know, the connection with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that was normal.
You know,
it was just like, I went there and went, huh, that's kind of interesting.
Perfect. Yeah.
So that's, I think, a good point for the listeners to kind of get to also. You know, there are so many people that are alone for one reason or another, and you know, they just wish that they had something in life that brought them some solace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they're out there looking for another person, but you don't find solace in another person. You find it within yourself.
Exactly.
And once you're whole within yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you go out and find the other person to share it with.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the funny thing is, when we feel the most unloved is when we need to love. And sometimes that's hard to manufacture. It's hard to, you know, go out and give love, you know, if you feel unloved. But the magic of these ascension attitudes is that you don't have to be feeling these emotions. You don't have to be feeling appreciative. You don't have to be feeling thankful. And you don't have to be feeling loving in order to use the attitude and have it work.
Now, that's an excellent point. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that's something that stops a lot of people from doing something like this, because they think that they have to have that feeling. And if they're not feeling that way, they think, well, it's hopeless, you know, what can
mm-hmm.
I possibly do?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Let's kind of go over that a little bit more so that people kind of really get it. So you don't have to actually feel loving.
No, you don't. The only thing you have to do is make a choice, and that choice is to replace whatever thought or feeling you have with an ascension attitude. You know, you can go on being in misery in your story, whatever your story is, you know,
mm-hmm.
Feeling the poor me's and pity and all that, but at any moment you have the choice. Any moment you realize that you are thinking or going on in a story, you have the choice to instead introduce an ascension attitude. And just because of the way it's constructed, it resonates a certain amount of truth at the surface level of the mind, but it is most appealing at the deepest level. And so it naturally will take you to that deepest level of your mind, which is your true self.
And that's where we're trying to go, folks, to our true self, back to what's real.
Remember who we are.
Yeah. And, you know, I always laugh whenever someone says, well, you know, we have to get back to who we are. I think of, you know, when I first got into the metaphysical world many, many moons ago, And all these people running around going, I was Queen Cleopatra. Oh, and I was King George. Oh, and I was Jesus. And I was Mary Magdalene. There are a lot of Mary Magdalenes out there. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And all these things. And I always laughed. And the first thing that popped into my head was, great, who was the ditch digger? Who was the slave? You know? Who was the poor little downtrodden accountant? You know? It just cracks me up, you know, because all those things, no matter who you were in a past life, you know, this was another time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was then, this is now.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those past lifetimes that we had are who we really are. You know, they're just part of the game.
Yeah, and on top of that, it becomes spiritual materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, it's still an ego game, you know, a one-upmanship,
mm-hmm.
where, oh, because I was Cleopatra, I have more points than you, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that is the worst kind of materialism, because it's pretentious and it's purporting to be spiritual.
Mhm. Yeah, and I wondered about that for a long time. And then I started thinking about how all of the mitochondria that are within our cells come from seven mothers. Just seven.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, how much of what somebody remembers of their past life actually was an ancestor and was passed on through the mitochondria, because we get them from our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get anything like that from our fathers. It only comes through the mother, because it's
mm-hmm.
the mother's cell. So for the listeners out there who are not biologists or doctors or nurses or anything like that, if you look on a diagram of a cell, you'll see a funny looking little thing in there called a mitochondrion. And what it does is it's the energy factory for the cell. And it takes different things and through a long complicated process creates the energy molecule that the cell runs on. And there are only seven types in the entire world. So all of our mitochondria came from seven women. And you know, I look at all that and I think, so maybe this is where people are getting some of these ideas. And maybe that's why you could have, you know, 20 or 30,000 Mary Magdalenes and
mm-hmm.
20 or 30,000 Jesuses and all these other things that we run into.
Well, what's interesting is as our consciousness expands, we become aware of our multidimensional nature. And so it's possible to experience, quote, other lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
because at that point, time collapses, you know,
mm-hmm.
time is just a construct, and space collapses, and, you know, I've experienced this myself, seeing
mm-hmm.
many different people in one person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So
and so, you know, we're tapping into our unity, our connection with everybody.
Yeah, not just everybody, but everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
other creatures on the earth and nature. And it's an amazing world out there.
Yeah.
And it's astounding, some of the things that we can experience. And I know right now a lot of people are experiencing their other dimensional selves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could drive you crazy if you don't have some kind of background in this stuff and realize that we're multidimensional. And, you know, there may be a lot of people in mental institutions that are there because they couldn't get a handle on this part of reality that we agree to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, I do believe that we are operating on many other levels at the same time. You know, how else can you explain some of these dimensional things that people experience, which I've experienced too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slipping from one dimension to another and going, whoa, okay, mm-hmm. now how do I get back? And there's been a lot of books written on that, too. And, you know, our consciousness is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very, very important for people to get to that space of peace and harmony and love within themselves in
right.
order to be able to be stable in this world that we're mostly in.
Right. Because what it comes down to is experiencing the silence within. And all the experiences, whether they're in the physical world or alternate realities, they come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be healthy, you basically experience it, then let it go. when we get stuck on something from the past or some other alternate thing, that's when we get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I've often said, well, for years before I really got into the things I'm into now, I used to say that, you know, the only difference between psychics and schizophrenics is that the psychics can tune up and down the radio band and turn the volume up and down and off, and schizophrenics are stuck in the lowest band where all the miserable stuff is happening. They can't control the volume, and they can't turn it off.
Right.
And, you know, if you think about how multidimensional beings would move through different dimensions, and that there's an infinite number of dimensions and an infinite number of different types of lives that you could have, then you would appear crazy if
mm-hmm.
you're stuck in a third dimensional world, but your mental capacity is somehow locked into another one,
mm-hmm.
and nobody else can see what you see.
Mm-hmm. And so by remembering who we really are, that allows us to explore the whole world, and it's a joyous adventure.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, most of us that experience that kind of stuff, you know, we have more fun than anybody else.
And, you know, it doesn't, it's not necessary to experience those other realities in order to experience full peace.
Mm-hmm, true. Yeah, you don't have to be able to see into the other dimensions or be clairvoyant or clairaudient or any of that. You just need to say the words and focus, I think. And
mm-hmm.
What's that saying? Where focus goes, energy flows.
Yeah, and also what you focus on expands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want more of peace and harmony, focus on peace and harmony.
That's right.
Your problems. If you're focusing on your problems, you will get more problems.
That's right.
It's kind of like the universal fulfillment station out there, you know, like a short order cook yelling your order. And you yell out there, universe, I want more problems. The universe says, you want more problems. Your order goes out, and pretty soon, here you go. Here's more problems. And if you say, I want more love, then you get that one.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I vote for the love.
And what I really like about this teaching is that it's not by any effort on your part or having to look at all the limiting beliefs that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are plenty of systems that, you know, like affirmations. You're just repeating something at the surface level of the mind. Well, you know, compared to all the negative or contrary thoughts you have, that's a big job to change anything.
It is.
There's other systems that, you know, find the belief and then you do some kind of technique to neutralize it or dissolve it. And, you know, well, that's gone. But what about the, you know, 20,000 other ones?
Yeah, they were hooked onto that one. Yeah.
So what happens is that when we use the ascension attitude, it takes us to the ultimate truth. It takes us to our infinite nature. And at that place, the limiting beliefs that we've acquired through our life cannot stand the ultimate truth. And so on their own, they start to dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I say this is an effortless practice, because things start disappearing and, you know, you only notice in your daily life, well, I used to be upset about that and it doesn't bother me anymore, or, you know, I used to do this or that. And, you know, it's only by the absence of some of the things, you know, when you wake up one day and it's not happening, that you go, oh, there's been a change.
Yeah. Yeah, because people do tend to focus mostly on what's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, happiness is a difficult state to stay in unless you're concentrating on that and you've
mm-hmm.
already put your order out to the universal fulfillment station.
Mm-hmm.
But at least with the ascensions, you know, it's very simple. You don't have to figure anything out, and you know, you don't have to be perfect at doing it. You know, you don't have to have any skill to do
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what's so appealing to it. It's so easy for people to become involved in it and to do it on a daily basis.
Right.
And having seen many, many people in my practice who I've tried to teach meditative techniques to, and they say, I can't meditate, I can't concentrate. You kind of go, huh, well, it doesn't have to be this big, hairy deal, you know.
Right.
It'd be pretty easy.
Because it comes down to the choice at every single moment. Are you going to continue with your story, or are you going to introduce an attitude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, when people come in and you tell them what they need to do to get healthy, and they say, well, I don't want to do that. And then, you know, my immediate response is, fine, be sick then. You know, be whatever you want to be.
Right.
It's your choice.
Absolutely.
How you go through life is totally your choice, not mm-hmm. somebody else's. And, I mean, even for people that are in a situation like in being in the military or being in prison or something like that, you still have a choice how you're going to react to things as you through the day.
Right. There's the story of Viktor Frankl, who was in a concentration camp. And when he was finally released, you know, the people who came there thought he had only been there a short amount of time when he was actually there for years. And it was because of his positive attitude that he was even able to maintain some of the body weight. And he kept a positive attitude even though he was in a concentration camp.
Yeah, and that would be hard for a lot of people to do, and a lot of people didn't do it, and very few of them survived. Most of the ones that survived were the ones who somehow managed to have something to live for.
Right.
And didn't give up. And, you know, I've seen that plenty of times in the hospital. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've seen people who had no right to be alive live.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen people who had every single thing going for them, and yet they decided to die, and they died. And you kind of stand there and scratch your head and go, that doesn't make any sense. You know, everything was fine. You know, they just basically gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people who have endured all kinds of really difficult physical things, and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And other people that wig out at the little tiny things that happen. So, you know, listeners, it really is up to each person. You can choose how your life is going to be. Now, it may not turn around overnight. If you've really got a messed up life, it may take a little while. But by practicing something like the Ascension Attitudes, then you're able to start to bring everything into alignment. And Sanat Kumari, is there something that you can give our listeners, some simple thing that they could start to practice now?
Yeah. It's kind of a mindful exercise. And it's the way we actually start before we introduce the Ascension Attitude. And that is simply to watch what's going on in your mind. It's as if there's a Christmas parade going by in the street and you're on the curb watching it. You're seeing the band go by with the trumpets and everything and everybody dressed up and Santa Claus on the float. And you can do the same thing with your mind. You can be an observer and watch that emotion or that body sensation or that thought, that story, go by. You don't have to grab it and ride it along, because then you're no longer in the present. So basically, what you do is, you can do it with your eyes closed, but basically just observe what's going on in your mind. Hear the voices. Hear the dialogue. Hear the thoughts come up. See where they go. And just watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that watching, you have the experience that you are not your thoughts.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, because we so much identify with our roles in life and the things externally. And if we can see that as what comes and goes, what changes, then we can start to have a sense of who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
We're that observer on the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that observer is untouched by everything going by on the street.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting, listeners?
So don't jump on the float and, you know, get eaten by the tiger. And it doesn't mean you're not going to experience joy in your life. You know, things will flow through you. And
mm-hmm.
it's a very peaceful state. You know, your life can improve just by doing that, just by watching what goes through your mind and not grabbing onto it and running with it.
And I can attest to listeners, it does work. Now, I arrived at that by other means many years ago. But, you know, I went through life totally, absolutely peaceful. And it was kind of interesting to see people's reactions, because I would choose whether I was going to react to something or not. and just not get involved in people's dramas and little stories and things. And it was quite interesting. It really kind of made a couple people crazy. And they'd look at me and they'd say, "Nothing bothers you, does it?" And I kind of look at them and go, "Yeah, things bother me once in a while." But for the most part, no, they don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I took the steps to make sure that I wasn't going to get bothered by every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for you listeners who feel like life has really kind of gotten you down and has been kicking you, you might want to look into the Ashiya's Ascension Attitudes. Might just help you out of the spot that you're in. And the main thing is that, you know, if you're ever in a spot that you're not happy with, then sitting there and grousing about it is not going to change it. Changing your perception, changing your attitudes, and taking action is what changes it. So, you know, for the people who read books and sit around and think about stuff, that's not enough. You have to actually focus and send your energies and start movement. You know, go through the motions, do something to change what you're going through. And then that automatically causes everything in your life to shift. And this Ashiya's Ascension stuff is the easiest stuff that I've found in order to change your mental attitude and your awareness. And it is really all about awareness. You know, if you can first observe what you're doing, then after you catch yourself observing it, then you can start to decide how you're going to act or react. And eventually the negative things just don't even come into your life. And it's easy. And now we've only got about, 8 minutes left on the show. Sanat Kumari, what is your next workshop schedule?
Well, in Cottonwood here, we have a free introductory talk on January 12th. And that's to answer questions and, you know, kind of find out what we're about. And then we're having a class January 20th through 22nd here in Cottonwood. And then we have another one scheduled for people who can't take a whole weekend off. It's 4 Thursdays in a row, February 23rd, March 2nd, March 9th, and March 16th.
And would you give the website where they can go and get that information?
Yes. I noticed a lot of, you know, dates and times. So All of the classes for all over the world are actually listed on this website. It's www.ashiya.org, and it's spelled ISHAYA.org. And on that website, there are also articles about Ascension and a connection to a musical group of Ashiya's that have put out this very joyful, enlightened music, and all sorts of programs that are going on around the world as well. There are retreats, and there's even one with golf. So there's been some creative programs designed. But the basic one is the 15-hour course, which is usually taught in a weekend format, where you learn the four basic Ascension attitudes.
Mm-hmm. And it, I must say, listeners, it's very easy. You know, it doesn't break your brain. It's very simple to do. And we do have quite an extensive listenership all over the world, too, Sanat
mm-hmm.
Kumari. So for the people who do not live up in the Sedona area, go to the ashiya.org website, and you might find a class in your area or something that's fairly easy to get to.
In fact, the Ashiya's do travel whenever there's interest and people want to form a class. We will travel and teach there. So if there isn't anything near where you are, contact a center and ask for more information how to sponsor a class in your area.
Excellent. All right. Well, if anybody has any further questions, or if you've forgotten the website or anything like that, you can email me, and my website is drvalerienmd.com. You can reach that from the Enlightened Medicine Show page on BBS Radio. Or you can also get me at info@drvalerienmd.com. Or you can contact Blog and Service and Don will probably forward the message to me. So if you don't have something to write with, you're driving down the road listening to this someplace, there you go. There's always a way to contact us. And hope that you've enjoyed the show today. And Sanat Kumari, thank you so much for being on the show. And
well, thank you, Valerie, for having me.
You bet. And it's just so nice that we're out of med school, huh?
And practicing what we learned, yes.
Yes, and continually growing and evolving and having more fun and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very grateful that you came on, and I'm grateful for the workshop and learning all these different things. And listeners, I hope that this has really helped you, and I hope that it's given you some hope. And, you know, hope's a pretty precious commodity nowadays. Basically, I guess what I would like you to know is that there always is hope. No matter what's going on, there's always hope for a change for the better. And, you know, I'm not a Pollyanna. I don't believe everybody can save their body if it's too far gone. But, you know, sometimes you can. And if you seem to be in a situation that you can't get out of, the likelihood is you can get out of it somehow. So keep the faith, keep love in your hearts and in your thoughts, and by practicing love and gratitude in your day, that will definitely change not only your day, but your entire life. And if you want to know a little bit more about the attitudes of praise, love, and gratitude, then please do check out ishaya.org, and that's how do we spell that again? ISHAYA.
Exactly.
.org. And see, read a little bit about that, or you can email me, or Sanat Kumari, why don't you give your email address?
My email is Arizona, ARIZONA, at ishaya.org.
Well, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if anybody has any questions, hopefully they'll email you, or if they want to know what they can possibly gain from this. And, you know, listeners, if you have questions, please do email Sanat Kumari. And if you don't remember that name, I think if you just emailed Dr. S or just Doctor or something like that, she'd probably answer you.
That's right. Just send the email to arizona@ishaya.org and I'll answer.
So there you go. So that makes it pretty easy. So, again, thank you, Sanat Kumari, for being on, and hopefully we'll have another member of your organization on maybe next month.
Perfect.
And, get this information out to people.
Yes.
We all need something that's easy. Life
yes.
Becomes
and
kind
effective.
Of sometimes.
Yes. This is the tool that delivers what everybody else is trying to inspire you to do.
Excellent. Well, there you have it, listeners. I hope that you've enjoyed today's show. And we will be back next week. We'll probably be pre-recorded, and will be instructions for the suit again, or something thereof. So we're not quite sure about next week because I will be out of town, but I'll see what I can whip up for you, and should be interesting in any case. And maybe I can talk Dr. Fred into coming on an hour early. Now, I know people would love that, Dr. Bell, and I'll have to see. Maybe I'll call him up on his show tonight and ask him. That man can talk for hours, you know. He's just fascinating. And he's on directly after my show, so he should be coming on in a few minutes. So thank you for listening. And as always, be healthy, be happy, and I'll see you at the next show.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.